Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
What is up, everybody? Welcome in to Tide Talk Live. Stacey Blackwood, joined as always by my good buddy Jake Thomas on this Tuesday evening here in North Alabama. Jake, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Doing great, man. Seems to me like there's a big ball game this weekend. I can't really pinpoint what it is. Oh, wait. Third Saturday in October. That's exactly what it is. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So I'm excited, man. Good to be here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Big game, Jake. Revenge seeking in the in the minds of the fans, I'm sure. I'm not sure how much the players play into that. But, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun diving into this matchup. It's a really interesting matchup if you look at these two teams. And of course, we'll talk all about that here in just a second. But thank you for tuning in tonight on the live show, Skip. Rick and Bonnie, good to have you guys as well. So, yeah, if you're watching right now, jump in the chat and let us know your thoughts. Give us a roll tide. We'll love to interact with you there in the live chat. And if you're watching the post recording of this, make sure you do jump the comment section as well and give us your thoughts on the matchup this weekend. But if you're not already, please do like, share, and subscribe today. We are presented by BetUS and Latorn Watches. We'll talk about those guys here in a little bit. But excited, Jake, for this matchup. This is one of the best rivalry games in the SEC. And it's always fun when these two get together, and especially after what happened last year in Knoxville. Right. This one seems to have a little bit more anticipation building up to the matchup on Saturday.
Yeah, man. And, you know, we're the uncertainty of how the schedule is going to lay out next year. We don't know if we're still going to have three permanent opponents or we're just going to keep one. So, I mean, this game right here has got a lot of significance if we only go to one, because we're probably going to lose this rivalry moving forward, except, you know, every other year. But it's just going to kind of lose its luster. But I fully expect that if they do go to three, we will keep this one. Of course, Auburn and LSU, I would imagine. But, yeah, it's a big game. You know, Tennessee fans, you know, they kind of got big head after winning the first game in like 15 years. And, you know, they think they're really good now and they're going to beat us again. But, you know, I feel like, you know, if we play our game like we know we can win this game easily.
Yeah, I mean, I agree 100%. And before we dive into our keys to victory, Jake, there's one thing that's really stuck out to me when I got to looking at this Tennessee team here in 2023. They have played only one game out of the state of Tennessee this year so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was at Florida, and we all know what happened there. You know, Florida beat them pretty handily, if we're being honest. They slowed down that rushing attack for Tennessee and was able to wear them out over four quarters. So just one game so far this season, and we're over the halfway point now where they have been outside of the state of Tennessee. They opened up with Virginia and Nashville, so basically a home game. And then every other week besides playing in Gainesville, they've been in the confines of Neyland Stadium. So this is really, you know, they don't really have a lot of experience, this version of the Tennessee Vols, on the road in a hostile environment. So that's just kind of an interesting side note.
It is interesting. I didn't realize that. You got to think about it. They also get Georgia at home this year. So,
yeah,
I mean, this is their biggest test away from home, you know. So, yeah. it's going to be a challenge, I feel like, you know, for them. Because they're a different team than they were last year. You know, Joe Milton's a totally different quarterback than Hendon Hooker. And the defense that they played against last year is a totally different defense this year.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's for sure. And that'll be part of the conversation and keys to victory. And before we get into that, there was another point I wanted to make about their schedule, Jake. And, you know, they haven't really looked dominant against some of these other teams either, Jake. Right. I mean, they've been a lot like Alabama as far as kind of left a lot to be desired. You know, they have the capability of being a really good team. They just haven't showed it on a consistent basis. So, really interesting matchup happening in Tuscaloosa this weekend. So, looking forward to kind of diving into all the details of that and what we're looking forward to the most in that matchup. But, Jake, as I guess it's a good time to jump into keys of victory if nobody else has. And by the way, Trina, is that how you say that?
Uh-huh.
2,500 miles away in northern Canada. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you for tuning in, Trina. Absolutely. By the way, my 9-to-5 that I work at, we actually just got bought out by a Canadian company. So I don't know if they're called Linamar, but it's an automotive manufacturer. But that's kind of interesting. But hey, y'all, thanks for the show. Roll Tide. Thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
Good to have you here.
Yeah.
If you're in the chat right now, give us a Roll Tide. Let us know where you're watching us from. And as we dive into all these topics that you can see there on our lineup for tonight, give us your thoughts on all those as well. Jake, let's just jump into keys to victory, buddy. When Alabama has the football, what do they need to do to be successful against Tennessee?
I sound like a broken record now, but I feel it's got to protect Jalen Milroe, you know, especially on passing situations. I mean, we have talked to we're blue in the face about how we feel like Caden Proctor is going to be that guy, but we can't say he's a freshman, even though he is, but he's had plenty of experience now. If he can't get it done, you got to find somebody else. And then we put in Elijah Pritchett, and he kind of had an okay day when he was in, you know, last week. So we've got to figure out a left tackle position and fast if we're going to have any kind of success moving forward, even past this game.
Yeah, and Tennessee's got the third most sacks in the country, so it's going to be a tough test for those guys up front. But the one thing I've noticed about this has kind of been something that's kind of carried throughout the Nick Saban tenure. If you let's just go, we'll just keep it in recent memory. Against Georgia in the 2021 SEC championship game, yeah. I mean. That was right after Alabama, I think, gave up, was it like 7 sacks to Auburn?
Yeah,
a bad Auburn team.
Yeah.
And then they go in and play Georgia, and Georgia barely touched Bryce Young. Mm-hmm. I mean, barely ever touched him.
Yep.
So it's – and then you look at a couple weeks ago against A&M, you know, as far as the pass protection goes, they were really good. I know there was some sacks, but most of them were on Milroe.
Yeah.
And so it just seems like they kind of rise to the occasion. And I don't want to say they play to the level of their competition. I just feel like if they feel like they're being doubted against an opponent that has some really good playmakers that they're going to be going against, it seems like they kind of rise to the occasion and play, you know, kind of what we're expecting them to play like. So if that can transition to Saturday, Jake, and they can kind of negate the pass rush that Tennessee has, that will obviously go a long way in determining the success of the Alabama offense.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. And, you know, I feel like we showed some signs running the ball last week. I feel like our running game's starting to come along. It's just been slowly coming along, but I feel like it's getting there. And I really feel like if we start establishing a run early, it's going to open up some of those play action deep shots that Miller loves to throw. So, you know, and I'm not sure, you know, Tennessee's secondary is that great. So, you know, I feel like the number one thing that we got to keep Milrow, you know, off the ground if we're going to have any success, especially this defensive front that they have.
Yeah, and it's important mm-hmm. that Milrow sees the blitz is coming pre-snap. He knows where he needs to go, where his hot route is at. Cannot hold on to the football too long. So it's not just the offensive line. It's the defensive or the Jalen Milrow, you know, being able to see what the defense is doing and get rid of the football as quickly as he can. But so it's all those things, all the above. If you're looking at it from that perspective, but you know, when I look at keys to victory for the offense, Jake, it's just I want to see just consistency.
Right.
I don't know what the problem is, Jake. It's just the Arkansas game is a perfect example.
You're right.
21 first half points. You know, they did struggle a little bit in the running game early on, mm-hmm. but the passing game was there. And then the running game started clicking in the third quarter. Then they kind of abandoned it for some reason. Mm-hmm. And it's just like they can't get out of their own way, Jake. And that's not just on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, you go back, Arkansas got back in that game because of penalties on the defensive side of the ball. So it's just Alabama just got to stay out of their own way. They are their own worst enemy right now, Jake. And I just want to see them play a complete game where there's no mental mistakes, mm-hmm. no – you know, you're going to turn the ball over every once in a while. It's just the nature of the game. But play clean. You know, mm-hmm. don't have pre-snap penalties. Don't, you know, when you're going to kneel on the ball to end the game and you get a false start, and they get a false start because Jesse McClellan's trying to calm Jermaine Burton down because he can't keep his mouth shut.
I know it. Yeah.
Let your play do the talking.
Right.
Look, I don't mind a little bit of chirping, but mm-hmm. when you're chirping, when you're taking a knee and it causes you to have a false start.
Yeah.
That's a loser play. That's not a winner's play.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to see this offense and really the entire team play clean, play smart. Don't hurt themselves. Don't shoot themselves in the foot and just play to that Alabama standard of doing all the things right. All the little things right.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey, 100%. I saw an interesting stat over the weekend. I think come out Sunday or Monday. You know, ever since Miro has pretty much got benched in that third game against South Florida, you know, he's finally coming to his own a little bit. He only has 4 interceptions on the year. Caleb Williams, who's also a Heisman candidate or was, also has 4 on the year. So, I feel like Milrow is getting better each and every game. I'm not saying he's at Caleb Williams level yet, but I feel like he's getting better and he's starting to make better decisions, you know, when he's trying to find somebody to get open.
Yeah, but he's got to get rid of the ball, Jake.
He does.
The taking the sacks or even when he runs around and then decides to run out of bounds, mm-hmm. that counts as a sack and you lose yards.
Right.
And you cannot get behind the chains. And so those are stuff. I mean, he's in starting 6-7 games by now. He's got to get out of that. It's time to get out of that. I'm guaranteeing the coaches are not saying, hey, run out of bounds after you run backwards 5 yards.
Right. Yeah.
He's got to get rid of the football, Jake, and quit putting the offense in bad situations. And you know, there's just a lot of problems. Not problems. There's a lot of small things that this offense does that is preventing them from reaching their true potential.
Mm-hmm.
If they would cut down on the self-inflicted negative plays,
right?
Just think what this offense could do. Mm-hmm. If Jalen could cut down on the taking the needless sacks and just throw the ball away and it be 2nd and 10 instead of 2nd and 16, mm-hmm. or instead of being 3rd and 4, it's 3rd and 11 because you take a needless sack. Eliminate those plays. Eliminate the pre-snap penalties. You know, get a hat on a hat in when teams blitz. You got to be able to communicate and get those calls right. Yeah. That's on Milrow. That's on Seth McLaughlin. That's on all those guys up front. So it's just about taking care of the things that you can control. I mean, it's hard enough to beat teams straight up. But you make it even more difficult when you put yourself in bad situations. So just clean up those plays, those self-inflicted wounds, and this offense will be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I agree. And I love Rick's comment here. Alabama is a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde football team this season. They play great 1 week and terrible, and they look terrible the next. You know,
I don't even think it's a week to week thing. I think it's a 6 minute stretch to 6 minute stretch.
Yeah.
It's insane. I mean, they should have routed Arkansas guys, and they didn't. And look, Alabama still got a good football team. They're more than capable of running the table, and I'm including the SEC championship, the playoff, and all of it. They're good enough to do all that because they got a great defense, and they have a dynamic player at quarterback. Does he do some things that make you want to throw something at the television? Yes, but he's a dynamic player with a big arm. And also, Jake, I don't know how often we have to say it, but when and this is one reason why I can't be overly critical of Milroe. He's basically playing with one arm tied behind his back, Jake.
Right, right.
What's his? I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out. It doesn't take Bill Belichick to know what Jalen Milroe does best.
Yeah.
Well, we don't do it.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not saying the read option because, you know, for all we know, maybe he's not good at reading the read option.
Right.
Or the RPO style stuff. Maybe that's not really his niche, but you can still run QB power. You can still run QB counter, stuff that Arkansas does with KJ Jefferson to kind of get an extra blocker out in front of him because he's 6'2", 220, big, strong, fast. I mean, two or three of those a game, Jake, and it changes the way the opponent has to play you defensively.
I agree. That's the second thing I was going to bring up was about, you know, the game plan. It seems like, you know, the game plan, like a couple weeks ago, we had a game plan that Jermaine Burton, we was going to go to him, and we would target him 12 times. Last week, we targeted him 3 times. You know, there's no consistency and no rhythm in the game plan, it seems like, so far offensively.
Yeah, and I don't want to blame Tommy Rees either because Jake, Nick Saban has the final call.
You're right.
I mean, 100%. That, you know, if Nick Saban wanted Milroe to be running, he'd be running by now.
Yeah.
So for what, I don't know what the reason is. I don't know if they don't want to take a risk of him getting hurt. But then why play him?
Right.
I mean, you are taking away his greatest asset when you don't allow him to run the football on design runs.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Todd Watts told us the same thing tonight. Yeah, I'm assuming as far as, you know, Milroe playing with the one arm tied behind his back, you know, I just can't. And you know, I voiced my concerns on Milroe, but I can't be overly critical when Alabama's not doing their best to put on display what he does best.
Right.
So I'm not going to be overly critical of the guy. I mean, he's basically playing like it's A-Day, which is not, you know, where he can't be hit.
Yeah.
But he still takes sacks. But
some of them needless and some of them are, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's been sacked about 30 times.
Mm-hmm.
I would honestly say it's probably half and half. Half on the offensive line, half on him. I think that's honestly probably fair.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he said that concerning Milroe. Yep.
Well, hey, I don't want y'all to do it right now, but I would let everybody know to head over to Bama Standard so y'all can check out what Tyler Watts had to say
about that. Absolutely.
I'm sure that's interesting. But Jake, defensively for Alabama in this matchup against Tennessee, to me, it's obvious what they need to do. If you look at this Tennessee team this season, it's not like it was a year ago with Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hyatt and all those guys out wide. It's a different type of volunteer offense. And I think you got to give Josh Heupel some credit for this, Jake. He has a totally different – and look, running the football was important last year, but that's what they do this year, Jake.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's their offense. You know, Joe Milton has kind of struggled to be consistently accurate with the football this year, just like most people who had watched him before had seen. He'd always struggled with being consistent in his accuracy, but their rushing attack, Tennessee is one of the best rushing football teams that I've seen this year, Jake. I think they're sixth in the country in rushing yards per game, a little over 200 yards per game. So they got three backs that are all capable. So, to me, the key for Alabama's defense is I think you just need to hold Tennessee to a minimum of 50 yards under their season average and total rushing yards. I think if Alabama can do that – you set yourself up for a lot of success in the game.
Yeah, I agree. If you get, you know, you get them in a couple of like third and long situations, I don't think they're the type of team that can, you know, recover from that and get that 7-8 yard gain to move the chain. So, you know, I feel like the defensive line is going to play a big part. Do not let, you know, Jabari Small get into the second level. And, right. You know, if you hit him at the line of scrimmage, make sure you bring him down. Top deals.
Yeah, it's this whole game is going to be predicated on what Tennessee can do on the early downs. Because like you mentioned, Jake, if you can get Joel Milton into third and six or longer, then, you know, I think all for the most part, that's going to be a recipe for success for Alabama, because you got guys, I'm sure Malachi Moore is going to be back this week. You got Caleb Downs, Arnold, Kool-Aid, you know, you got all those talented players in the back end. And then you think about what Dallas Turner and Chris Braswell and those guys can do as far as putting pressure on Milton. I think you could, if you can force them into some long third down situations, you can maybe get a couple turnovers that really turn the game in Alabama's favor.
Yeah, I agree. And Dante Lawson has just been a monster this year, and he's really stepped up as a leader. I think Trez Marshall talked about that today, about how his leadership skills has been great for the team, you know. So Lawson, man, he's such a great athlete, and I'm glad he's finally healthy enough to get back on the field, because I feel like we need him, you know, this week.
Yeah, I want to get to the chat real quick. Joe Will says when the Bama spread game came, mm-hmm. when the Bama spread, I think it came out, I was confused. Yeah. But I think it's about right. Bama boys will be ready for revenge Saturday. I was in the exact same boat, Joe. When I saw it was like 9.5, 10, I'm like, man, that seems a little high. But then I got to thinking, you know, that's really about right. I mean, you got to think home field's going to give you 3 to 6 points. Mm-hmm. And then I think, you know, if Tennessee plays their A game and Alabama plays their A game, Alabama's about a 4 to 5 point, maybe 6 point better team than Tennessee. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think 10 points is about right. You know, we'll save our score predictions for the last segment, but I'm with you, Joe. It was surprising at first, but the more I thought about it, it's really about right on.
Yeah, I agree. Bama Sanders said, keep in mind that Tennessee's success against the run versus A&M came without Walter Nolan and Adrian Cooper playing for the Aggies.
Arguably their two best front seven players.
Yeah, we don't have anybody out, I don't think, on the front seven. Mm-hmm. We have everybody healthy. Silva says, what's up, guys? Revenge week. Yes, revenge, for sure.
To paraphrase a Journey song, any way that win it, that's the way. Yeah. You know, look – you know, we're talking about revenge. That's being mentioned a lot in the chat. And, you know, revenge is a good thing. And it's like in moderation.
Right.
Because if you let revenge be what dictates you, you know, it can quickly turn from your passion to your poison. You know what I mean? So, like, it's revenge is not always a great thing. But I do think what happened last year is in the back of the minds of the players. And I think they'll use that as a little bit of extra motivation, not the main motivation, but just a little bit extra.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Caitlin said, I feel like we can have it. We can't have it all. We get a great offense, a horrible defense. Now we got to struggle on offense or killing on defense, you know?
Yeah. It's like somebody mentioned earlier, it's a Jekyll and Hyde type thing. And
yeah,
The offense has shown the capabilities of being really good. It's just about being consistent. And defensively, we've talked about it every show. They're good enough to win a championship. That Alabama's defense is a national championship-worthy defense. And, my gosh, I hate to even bring up this guy's name, but Big Game Boomer on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that. His top 50 defenses, Alabama was like 16th or something.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
You know, people like that. Look, I want everybody. I want people to be successful in life. But when people are just blatantly doing stuff that they know is not true,
mm-hmm.
there ain't no way there's 15 better defenses than Alabama's.
No chance.
So for some reason that popped in my mind because I saw that earlier today, and I'm like, good grief. Like, I used to follow the guy, but he's gotten worse. Like, he used to be like halfway serious about it. And I think he took the, hey, I don't know. He just,
yeah,
it gets on my nerves.
Yeah. Joel is here. She said, I'm here. Joel Scott's 31-13. That would be great. I would almost call it a blowout.
I would love that.
Yeah. He also says that Alabama is number one in the nation in PFF grade for defenses.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying Alabama's got the best defense in the country, but I think you can make the argument.
Yeah.
They definitely ain't 16th best.
No.
Alabama's second team defense is probably 16th best.
Right. The syllabus says he's got 34-17 and our best performance so far this year. I would love that. Have we hit a 30 burger yet this year?
Yeah. I think
we got 26 against A&M. We got 24 against.
I think just once.
Yeah, Middle Tennessee. That's the first game of the year.
I don't remember. That would be crazy.
Yeah. Think about going from scoring 40-50 a game now to barely getting 30. And I say, but thankfully,
hey, I don't know if you notice this, Jake. Across the board, scoring is down in college football.
It is. You're right.
Across the board. I think over the past two seasons, scoring has dropped like almost 5 points a game overall in college football.
Unless you're in the Pac-12 where they play no defense and they score, 36 to 40 points a game.
Oh, we did score 40 on Mississippi State. That's right. I knew there had to be another one. That's right.
Yeah, we did.
That Mississippi State game, even though it was just a couple weeks ago, that seems like forever ago.
It does, don't it? It is crazy.
All right, we kind of got off the rails there. Jake, players to watch in this game, and we want to hear from you guys in the chat as well. Give us some players to watch Saturday, both offensively and defensively. Jake, let's start on the offensive side of the football. Who are you watching this week against Tennessee?
I'm going to go back to another guy. I picked him earlier in the year. He hasn't been involved much. I think he had a pass reception last week, but Namari Knoblock, I feel like he needs to get going a little bit in the passing game. I mean, like they have mentioned, he is a defensive nightmare mismatch. So I feel like we got to get him going in that passing attack and start seeing success through him, because I really feel like he's a talented player.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with an easy answer. I'm just watching whoever's playing left tackle.
Yeah.
I'm watching whoever's playing left tackle, whether it's Caden Proctor or Elijah Pritchett. That's what I'm going to be watching for, because I trust that if Milroe is given time, he's going to make a play. And I like what the Bama Sanders saying here, Justice Haynes. That's the guy. That's actually who I went with last week, because I thought that last week was going to be when we first started seeing him get some reps with the first team and meaningful snaps. And he did. He played a couple series. Had a couple nice runs, so I'm with you there. I think it's time for him to show up and show out as well. But
yep.
Like I was going with that though, Jake, if Milroe and the skill position players have opportunities to make plays, I think they're going to make plays this weekend. I really do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. I'm excited about this matchup, and I feel like, that the team, like we mentioned, is better than Tennessee, and we just got to go out there and play all four quarters to prove it.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, defensively, Jake, who you got your eye on, buddy?
I'm going to go with Malachi Moore. He didn't get to play last week because of the injury. I feel like, having the guy who calls the plays in the backfield, we played a really good secondary last week. It's just, you could see missing him, how it kind of affected the team late. Especially third and fourth quarter. He really attacks the run real hard, and he's always at the line of scrimmage, it seems like, whenever and he's pressuring the quarterback too. So I feel like getting him back is going to be a difference maker this week on the defense side.
Yeah, and he plays a big part in stopping the run as well at his star position. So it'll be really important that he plays well. I'm excited to have Malachi back. I think I think even though he's not the best player on Alabama's defense, he's the most valuable player for Alabama because of just his excuse me, his versatility, his experience. He's just got a knack for being around the football. So excited to have Malachi Moore back. And Bama Standard took mine. I was going with Tim Keenan. We need our big guys up front on the defensive line to play well. They need to play their best game of the season to stop the run of Tennessee. Jake, if they stop the run of Tennessee and make it – look, you go back to that Florida game, Florida held Tennessee to 30 rush attempts for 100 yards.
Right.
If Alabama can duplicate that, they will win this game by at least 14 points. So it's important that Tim Keenan, Justin Aboye, Jaheim Otis, Dallas Turner, Chris Braswell, that they all play well and stuff the run, set the edge. If you're Braswell or Turner, and if you're on the interior, make plays in the backfield, get those tackle for loss, and make Joe Milton beat you in the passing game.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Stacey. And I love, you know, I go back and watch, much like you do, the after the games, though, we go back and watch it. It seems like Tim Keenan is finding ways, like it's almost like every play he's in the backfield. And there's a couple of times where he's been double teamed and still has made his way in the backfield. So, you know, we talked about beginning of the season how we feel like the defensive guys need to take – if they take up two blockers, somebody's going to be free to rush the quarterback. And he's taken up two guys almost every play, and he's still finding ways to get back to the backfield. He's had a resurgence year, and I'm happy to see it because he's one of the most consistent guys on the defensive front, along with Tim Smith, his resurgence as well.
Yeah. The play of Aboye, Keenan, Tim Smith, and Jaheim Otis have been huge for Alabama's defense this season. The syllabus says, is Malachi back in the lineup? Yeah, he actually dressed and participated in all the pregame warm-up last week and probably could have played if they absolutely needed him to.
Yep. Okay. Bama Standard said Malachi is back. Tyler Watts confirmed it on our show, so that's awesome.
Good deal. Good to have Malachi back. Been one of our favorite players since he committed to Alabama several years ago. So, that's back when we kind of first started our show, I guess.
Yeah, it is crazy. We started out just talking on through our phones. Now we're on here. It's crazy.
Yeah, times have changed for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Jake. Bold prediction time. This is like my favorite thing to do because, first of all, they hardly ever happen.
But I know.
It's a bold prediction for a reason. Give me your bold prediction for the game, Jake.
I think Alabama slows down Tennessee's rushing attack, and they force Milton to try to beat us over the top. And we have – I'm going to say we have two or three interceptions this week, and one of them is going to be a pick six. So I'm going to take – that's my bold prediction for the
week. So multiple interceptions and one pick six. Ooh. I think if there's multiple interceptions and a pick six, that game's probably pretty ugly.
Yeah.
Right. And Alabama's favorite.
Right. Yep.
All right. Since you went with a bold prediction on the defensive side of the ball, I guess I'll go with something on the offensive side of the ball. Alabama will have a 100-yard rusher and a 100-yard receiver.
Nice.
And I think that Justice Haynes will be the 100-yard rusher.
I hope so.
I think he's going to bust one.
Yeah. I can see it. He's just itching to get on the field, man.
I'm telling you. And he's like one of those guys that if there's a crease, it's over with. Him or Jan Miller, either one. Those two guys, not that McClellan's not capable or Roydell's not capable, but for some reason, Jam and Justice seems like they have a different gear. And it may be because they haven't had ACL surgery and, played 4 years of college football already.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
My bold prediction is the Alabama fans win the ball game. They storm the field, tear on the goalposts, and throw it in the river. Well, I think mine and Jake are both more than likely to happen simultaneously than what yours is, Rick and Bonnie.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you don't see Alabama storming the field. That's just one thing that I don't think they've ever done.
So embarrassed if they did that.
I know. Yeah, I mean, storming the field. Did you watch them win their game the other night? And I think they was ahead in the polls, and they still rushed the field. How did they beat?
I've never understood rushing the field to tear down your goalpost.
And then the next,
your own goalpost,
right? And they threw it in the river, and the next day they was asking, you know, people for donations to get a goalpost. They got to have it for next, you know, the next game. I mean,
well, that's so dumb. That is so dumb. I mean, it's like rolling your own yard.
Yeah. Who wants to clean up that mess, you know? Bo Scarborough predicted Justice to have a breakout performance like he did in 2016.
God, that 2016 performance was so sweet.
That was. I hope so. So sweet. Man.
That'd be great. All right, let us know your bowl predictions for the matchup. We're fixing to hop into our score predictions real quick. Jake, this game, and I think I say it every week, it's so hard. Score predictions are so hard.
They are.
Because you never know the ebbs and flow or how the games are going to be. You never know how the officials are going to call the game. Are they tight? Do they let them play? You know, you never know, you know, somebody might get hurt in the pregame. So there's so many variables that, you know, could happen. But right now, what is your score prediction for Saturday's matchup?
I'm going to say 31-17 Alabama. I feel like, you know, they get to 31 and the defense makes a late stop to keep Tennessee at 17. You know, they may be drawing the field, but they may get one of their two interceptions, I feel like, on, you know, right there. So I'm going to take 31-17 Alabama. Roll Tide, and we smoked them cigars. And this is just going to be a fog in that stadium after the game.
I love it. I love it. You know, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, and I don't recommend anybody to take my advice on betting.
But go to BetUS if you do.
Yeah, if you do, go to BetUS. Actually, click the link in the description below if you want to bet on this game or any game. Mm-hmm. Follow that link. And if you follow that link and sign up and make your first deposit, you will receive 125% bonus from BetUS. So make sure you do that. But if I was a betting man, I would hammer the under on this game. It's currently at 49.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't see a scenario where this game gets to 50 points combined.
Potentially, yeah.
I don't see that. I think it's a little bit slower, a lower scoring game. I think Alabama wins this from 28-17, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Alabama kind of flexes their muscles a little bit. I think they've heard everybody talk about how, well, they're this far in the season and they hadn't fixed this. They're this far in the season and they hadn't fixed that. I think they flex their muscles. Jake, this team is capable, Jay. They're good. They have all the potential in the world. Mm-hmm. So I think they flex their muscles against Tennessee, get that revenge win. And like you said, light them if you got them.
Yep. Yep, you're right. Who we got after this game?
Off week and then LSU.
We got off week, then LSU. So, you know, we get our revenge here. We take a week off, get prepared for probably our next biggest challenge, you know, stopping, you know, Jaden Daniels. Nobody's done it yet.
That dude's unreal.
He is. But at least we got 2 weeks to study and look at.
Hey, I'll be honest with you. This is kind of a side note. I'm not sure he's not the best quarterback in the country right now. Him and the guy from Washington, Penix.
Yeah, you're right.
Jaden Daniels is a dude. They got two receivers, Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, that are hard to cover.
They are. So, you know, we'll have another, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Right. But Cubans have a little something extra. Elbow call. That's good. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I got some right now. I'm ready. I'm ready to light it up. So hopefully Alabama can take care of business at home on Saturday, get that revenge win, improve to 7-1 and what, 5-0 in SEC play, Jake?
Yep. And still control our own destiny.
Controlling their own destiny. It's everything is ahead of them, guy, ahead of Alabama. And you know, unfortunately, Brock Bowers is hurt right now. Don't know how long he's going to be out. So you never know what that's going to do to Georgia, because I mean he's their dude. So we'll kind of see how Georgia handles that. But a lot to look forward to. A lot of good matchups coming up. Alabama, Tennessee, 2:30 on CBS this Saturday. You heard it here. Alabama's going to win this game. Get your cigars ready. Mm-hmm. It's happening. and Alabama takes back control of the third Saturday in October. But that's going to do it, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Been a lot of fun to get our preview show out there. Thanks for all those who watched us live and join us in the conversation as well. And if you're watching the replay of this on YouTube, make sure you do like and subscribe to the channel and jump in the comments and let us know your thoughts on the matchup between Alabama and Tennessee on Saturday. But that's going to do it, guys. Thank you so much for watching. We'll be back on Saturday for our recap. Mm-hmm. Until next time, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
At KPMG, our people make the difference. It's not just something we say, it's what we do. Combining the power of people and technology, we uncover brighter insights, innovate bolder solutions, and create better data-driven outcomes. KPMG, make the difference.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.